Hi, this is Dan Sheridan telling the story of American government. This is a lesson 11 in our series, Civics Made Easy. We're in this together. We're going to talk about the origin of the township in this lesson. Remember, the best way to preserve a nation is from the bottom up, not the top down. As I said, we're going to talk about the origin of the township in this lesson. We're going to talk a little bit about the Greeks, the Romans, and the Native Americans. Well, the basic principles of town government are one of the oldest known forms of government. The Romans had their comitia, and the Greeks had their ecclesia. Now, these meetings were popular assemblies that met outdoors at the Roman Forum or the Greek Agora. Now, imagine that, a political meeting that required suntan lotion and mosquito repellent. Well, these governments were pure democracy in their form. And it was at one of these outdoor meetings in the Greek marketplace where war was declared on Syracuse and Socrates was sentenced to death. Now, I almost said Socrates, and only those of you who saw Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure would get what I just said, Socrates. I always want to say Socrates. Well, the meetings were similar in form to the New England town meetings, except for the fact that the Greek meetings conveyed more authority because, well, they didn't have a county or state government over them. But the principles of the town meeting go even further back than Greece and Rome. I want you to imagine a time when there were no streets or fenced in fields, when people wandered as family units hunting for food. I know it's hard to imagine, but try to imagine that. These families were called clans, and clans, as far as we know, are the oldest form of civil government in history. Now, a good modern illustration of clan government can be found among the Native American Indians during the discovery period of American history. I say modern in the relative sense in the history of the world. The 1600s and 1500s is relatively modern, but we can go back then to get an idea. Now, with the Native Americans, the clan had its chief, and leaders from each clan made up a council. And now they lived mostly by hunting and fishing with a little agriculture thrown in, and their main crops were corn and pumpkins, and their villages were protected by fences made of pointed stakes. So that's a good illustration of what the clan looked like and what their government looked like. And these Indians were doing what ancients in Europe did thousands of years earlier. The Scandinavians and Germans appear on the pages of history having exchanged a wandering life for a settled life. And here's how it came about. A clan would find a convenient place to set up permanent residence. They're basically saying, hey, you know what? It's time to stop moving around. Let's set up shop permanently right here. And that's what they did. So then a village would grow up in that area. Now, the village was surrounded by a belt of wasteland. Later, on this belt of land, a wall might be built. Now, the belt of land was called a mark. The wall was called a tun, T-U-N. And after a while, the land enclosed within the belt or wall became known as the mark or tun. So tun is where we get the word town. The use of the word town caught hold in England. Now, in England, the folks in the town were a stationary clan, and they were known by their clan name. For instance, the town of the Cressing family became known as Cressingham. Look at a map of England and you will see the names take us back to the time when the town was the home of a stationary clan. That might be a good study. Go look at England, a map, and see how those towns came from family names. And that takes us back in time. It shows you how connected we are with ancient history and that its practices are with us today. Well, these English towns had their town meetings where they took care of important business and passed bylaws, or as we learned in a previous lesson, town laws. That's what bylaws are. The leading officers in this meeting were the reeve, and I'll spell that, R-E-E-V-E, or he might be called the headman, the beadle, that's B-E-A-D-L-E, or messenger. This title was also a religious officer who kept order during services. And then there was the tithing man, or constable, similar to a local cop. So those were the three main offices. Now, at first, these positions were probably elected positions, but as lords became more powerful, the lord stewards took over the reeve and the beadle roles. Now, once the Normans came and took over, the townships gave way to the lords, and the French idea of a manor, meaning dwelling places, was set up. That means the manor was now the township in which the officers were directly responsible to the lord and not the people. There is a little bit of good news, though. The good news is that this didn't completely abolish the principles of self-government. And we'll talk about how the remnants of self-government were preserved in our next lesson. Now, this stuff is important. I hope you're enjoying these lessons. Sometimes it's good to go back to the origins, to see the history of things, to know where we came from, to understand where we're at today and where we're headed in the future. I think these lessons are important, and I really hope that you've learned something and you think that these lessons are valuable, too. All right, that's all we have time for. Until our next lesson, remember this, be good to one another because we're in this together. Have a great day.